Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3.
Oh, he's a wonder.
He's a wonder. The gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord in Senla and in Missoula.
Fellowship Community Ministry, welcoming you to another opportunity to transform your life. Did you know that you possess the power and the responsibility for determining your future and destiny? Did you know that you are the sum total of the choices and decisions you make every day? However, the ability for you to make the right decisions for a life that will lead to your God-given destiny depends on your quality of knowledge. Self-development demands self-discipline. It is our desire to see your life transformed by the messages on these broadcasts. Prepare to receive as we join this opportunity to grow and expand, as we inspire you and motivate you to achieve your greatest and God's purpose for your life. Sit back now and listen to a message that is designed to destroy ignorance and empower you to become an effective human on this path as you inspire others to reach their maximum potential. Let us join the seminar in progress.
Persecuted, but not forsaken.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, my Father. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father, for the awesome opportunity, my Father, to come on this radio broadcast and share with your people, Lord, the greatest story that's ever been told, the greatest message that's ever been proclaimed. And that's the message, not just of Jesus, I always say this, but the message that Jesus preached. And boy, the message of Jesus is good news. The message that he preached is great news, if I can say it that way. Well, it's good news about Jesus, how he died for our sins, how God raised him from the dead, how he cast out devils, how he went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed by the devil. How he opened blind eyes and the leprosy stories and all the miracles with the fish and all that's the good news about Jesus. And boy, that's good news. Especially, boy, the one when he died on the cross. And boy, 3 days later, he got up. That's the good news. And then the good news is, boy, I'm talking about, he went on up to heaven. That's good news about Jesus, you know. And that's good news after he paid the penalty for our sins and redeemed our life from the destruction. That's good news. That's good news. All this, that's the good news about Jesus. Boy, listen, that was the Son of the Most High God. That's the Word of the Living God. That's the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Boy, that's good news. That's our Redeemer. That's our Deliverer. That's our Savior. That's our Provider. That's good news. And boy, let me tell you something. That good news will get us out of, just like, boy, the good news that God sent Moses and told Moses, go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And that good news that came down, the good news is God came down and told Pharaohs, hey, listen, let my people go. And through Moses, boy, let me tell you that got the people out of Egypt. And just like Jesus, boy, he come down there, boy, and told the devil, hey, listen, thus said the Lord, let my people go. And man, I'm going to tell you something, that got us out of the devil's world, translated out of his kingdom over into the kingdom of our Father in heaven, boy. Listen, that's good news. That's the good news about Jesus. That's the gospel. Like I was saying, that'll get us saved. But saved is a means to an end. saved is not the goal of God to get us saved. That's the beginning. That's the means to an end. We're saved for a purpose. We're saved for a reason. We're healed for a reason. We're delivered for a purpose. We're redeemed for a purpose. He opened them blind eyes and I stopped them deaf ears and did all them mighty works for a purpose. It was a reason why, you know, about the good news of Jesus. It's his purpose. And the good news of Jesus is a means to an end. And I always say this on the broadcast, we have to be very careful as believers. If the devil's most successful tactic against us is not to do evil things, but to preoccupy us with doing good things at the expense of forfeiting great things. I'm going to say that again. The devil's most successful tactic against Christian believers is to preoccupy them with good things at the expense of forfeiting great things. I told you the good news about Jesus, that's a good thing. Him saving us, that's a good thing. Him telling us, boy, I didn't kind of do away with the law, but I kind of fulfill the law. That's a good thing. And boy, he'll have us preoccupied with all those good things, as long as we don't ever get to the great thing. So he don't mind us, man, even getting saved. He don't mind. He couldn't do nothing about the children of Israel coming out of Egypt. Boy, he couldn't do nothing with them. But boy, what his greatest attack was and what his greatest desire was, he knew God, what God said was to let my people go. But boy, he didn't want them to go across the Jordan River into the promised land. Well, that's what it, listen, it didn't take God long to heal them, to deliver, to heal them, to set them free, to get them all the way to the borders of the promised land. The Bible says, man, it's a 40-day journey. Some theologians say it's a 40-day journey, a 40-day walk, man, from where they was in Egypt, man, to the promised land. Some theologians say it took Moses, it's 90 days, 3 months to 6 months to let Pharaoh go, to convince Pharaoh to let him go. But boy, I'm talking about, boy, it took him 40 years to go across the Jordan River into the inheritance, into the land that God had promised him, their forefather Abraham, a land flowing with milk and honey where they could grow and prosper and be and have a, actually the best spot on the, probably on the face of the earth. Still fighting over that spot over there, man, in the Middle East now. It's just like, man, you know, Jesus. God sent Jesus and said, go tell the devil that my people go. And boy, Jesus came down here, boy, cast out devils, open blind eyes, man, put the devil on his feet, man, and say, let my people go. Let me tell you something, boy. And the devil ain't had no choice in the matter. After 3.5 years, he ain't had no choice in the matter. And when he thought he was doing destroying Jesus, boy, he was opening the door for many more to be born just like Jesus. And boy, like I told you, the good news about Jesus, how he died for our sins and cleansed us up from all unrighteousness and all those good things like that is a means to an end. Listen, boy, as long as he don't mind you getting saved, I'm talking about the devil now. He don't mind you getting saved. He don't mind you having good church. He don't mind you preaching good messages, man, especially, you know, those who preach, man, the law and the prophets. Let me tell you something. Those are good messages. But those are messages that God has been done away with for 2,000 years. He don't mind you preaching the good news scripture. He don't mind you preaching, man, out the old covenant and everything else, man. As long as you don't get into the kingdom of God. You don't mind you getting saved. You don't mind you having good church. You don't mind you having 5,000 members, 10,000 members, 20,000 members. Now, when you start getting 150,000 members, 100,000 members, you probably get a little worse. And then anybody don't want you worrying about that, as long as you don't get, man, to the main event. You don't mind you getting saved. That's good news, how Jesus saved us. Well, as long as you don't get into the kingdom. No, you don't go across our Jordan River over into, man, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. That's the great news. What's the good news? That's good news is all the good news about Jesus. What's the great news? The good news that Jesus preached. Say that again, Arthur. The good news is all the good news, the gospel of Jesus. And that's what a lot of people preach. And that's good news. That'll get us saved. That'll get us wandering around in the wilderness, man, just like the children of Israel, man, and having church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, man, and the world still going ahead. The people still dying, man. The youth still killing one another, man. We still slandering and backbiting. Still got division in the church, man. Still living far below our rights and privileges. Still living and dying like mere men and mere women, when all the time we are the sons and daughters of the Most High God. Still living like servants. Servants of the Lord. I hear a lot of people say that I'm a servant of the Lord. Listen, let me tell you something. That's all right. That's a good thing. But I'm not no servant. I'm a king, glory to God. I'm a king that serves. Just like Jesus. He went down here. They say he's a suffering servant. Baby, he was a reigning king. Hallelujah. And he didn't come down here, man. Some people say he was a servant. Yeah, but he know who he is a different. He know he was a servant. He come down here, boy, as a reigning king, and when he served the people and watched the people feeding everything else, he knew who he was ministering to. He was ministering to other kings. That's why he's the king of kings. I tell you, the devil don't mind you having all them good titles, doctor this, bishop that, pastor this, evangelist so-and-so. All them religious titles that we have, he don't mind all that, boy, as long as you don't get to that kingship. You don't mind you putting that religious rituals on and our priesthood on and our good church and our worship and our ceremonies and all the good things like that. You don't mind that. He can come in and interrupt that anytime he want to, man, cause division in the church anytime he want to. Well, there's so much division within our congregation, within the church. Deacons and members and folks, man, you know, how, man, they're not They divided, more divided in the church than they are outside the church. In the church, I tell you, another good thing, having good church, but yet, man, talking about your brother and sister, man, behind their backs. Laughing in their face, man, stabbing them in the back. Non-believers, Christians, saved people, people that love the Lord with all their heart, tongue-talking people, man. Well, I tell you, that's why I say, boy, the devil don't mind. As long as you don't never, man, come to the knowledge of the gospel of the kingdom. That's why Jesus called it the gospel of the kingdom, the glad tidings. I took it a step further. I ain't adding to no scripture. I ain't taking nothing away, but I call it the great news. That's the great news there. The good news is all the good stuff about him. The great news is, boy, what he said. And like I told you earlier, boy, the devil don't mind you, man, finding out all about what he did and preaching about what he did and stirring up people's emotion about what he did and how he opened blind Bartimaeus' eyes and opened dead ears, raised Lazarus from the grave. All lost. Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? Well, that's good news, man. Yes, he all right, man. But the issue is, man, you and I, are we all right? And he more concerned. He know he all right. He's more concerned about us. Are we all right? What you mean, are we all right? Do we have more power than all the power of our enemy? Are we doing, man, like he did, man? Are we opening blind eyes and unstopping deaf ears and casting out devils, man, and healing the sick and bringing unity, man, to our circle of influence? Are we, man, when we get up every morning, do the devil tremble, man, and sometimes when we come on the scene, flee from us? Do any demons wake up and tell you, man, I know who you are. You're the son of the Most High God. Now you come to torment us before our time? No, man. No. But boy, what he said, what he preached was this. All of the kingdom of heaven. What do you mean? All of the kingdom of heaven. That you got your hopes for, boy, and the sweet by and by when you all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing is going to be. And, boy, we're going to sit down by the crystal river and drink wine and be great, boy, and talk with the Lord, man, forever and ever and ever. any of them. Well, he comes in to say just the opposite. He said, listen, boy, the good news is what? Debt that you're trying to get to, I come to bring the governance system of it. I come to bring a man back to the earth. I come to bring, instead of trying to get you to heaven, I come to bring heaven to you. I come to open your blind eyes, not just your physical blind eyes, but your spiritual blind eyes, so that you can see, glory to God, so that you can see what's really going on. I didn't come just to unstop physical death ears, man. I come to unstop spiritual death ears so that you could hear. Not just what Arthur's saying and not what Jesse's saying on his radio broadcast, but that you could hear the voice of God. You could hear the voice behind my words. And you can say it plain, Arthur, so that you could hear, boy, what the Holy Spirit of the Lord say to you about what I say. Boy, what I'm saying to you, boy, is good news. It's great news, boy. But what the Holy Spirit will say to you about what I say is greater news. He give you the revelation of it. He'll open your spiritual blind eyes so that you can see, boy, what the Lord really is doing. He'll unstop your deaf ears, man, so that you can hear. Not, boy, so that you can hear what the Lord is really saying. You can hear what the Holy Spirit is saying about what your pastor say, about what your bishop say, about what men and women of God say. You know, unstop your deaf ears and you can hear the voice of God. You can hear the word. You can hear the voice behind the word. You can hear the voice behind the sermon. You can hear what God say, man, about what the minister say. He come there to heal our lame legs, not just physically, and not just from strokes and cancer and liver disease and all the things, man, that are destroying this temple that we have that we and the Holy Spirit live in. He come to cleanse us up from all our unrighteousness. He come, man, to crown us, man, with glory and with honor. He come, man, you know, and did all those good things like that. And then, boy, I'm talking about after he died and raised from the grave, boy, he said something. He stood on the bottom of the universe, boy, and said these words. All power. Not some. All power. Power of heaven. All the power over the earth, even the power under the earth. What you mean under the earth? I got power even over death. They crucified him, baby. 3 days later, boy, he come again. And proclaiming one message. Boy, at the beginning of his ministry, he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. All through his ministry, boy, he was preaching, man, the good news about the kingdom of heaven. Boy, he wasn't just preaching about the kingdom of heaven. He was preaching that the kingdom of heaven has arrived. That's what that hand means. It's here. Is available to you right now. All through his ministry, boy, he was teaching men how the functioning principles of the kingdom, how the kingdom worked, boy. They knew church protocol, and they knew, man, you know, religious protocol, and they knew how to conduct themselves as Pharisees and Sadducees and Herodians and the Sanhedrin councils and the Christians and the Muslims and the Hindus and all the different tower that we fall up under, man. They knew how to conduct themselves like that, but they didn't know nothing, man, about kingship. They knew church protocol. They knew religious protocols. But they don't know kingdom protocol. They don't know more kingdom life. They don't know kingdom living. They know how to live like Christians. Quit doing this and quit doing that and don't do this here and go to church on Sundays and steer the Lord, man, and don't lie and don't drink and don't steal. And they knew all that, man. They knew the laws of Moses, but they didn't know the laws, boy, of the kingdom. They know nothing about the law of life that's in Christ Jesus. They didn't know nothing about the law of faith. They don't know a lot about, man, the law of love. They don't know a lot, man, about the perfect law of liberty. They don't know about, man, the law of sowing and reaping. They don't know about the law of sin and death. Those are laws that God gave to mankind. Boy, way before, man, way before Moses was even born. Those are the laws that God set up in your scripture, boy, Genesis chapter 1 and 2, boy, that he gave to Adam, man, to live in the garden. How, boy, the law of life. What's that? To live off my word, what I say. Not just what I do and who I am and everything. Now, that's a good thing, but, boy, pay attention to what I say. And obey, man, and hearken your voice unto what I say. Hearken is a little bit more than hear. Hearken means to hear and obey. Hearken unto the voice of God's word. That's hearkening. That's hearkening unto that hearing. Glory to God. Boy, that's a law in the kingdom. The law of life, what the king say. Thank God for what Isaiah said and Jeremiah said and Ezekiel said and Hezekiah said and David said and Abraham said and all the Old Testament characters said. Thank God for that. That's a good thing. But you know what's a great thing? Boy, when you can hear, man, when God can speak to you, then you can be a character that's like them. Then you can be an important role in what God is doing just like them. Until God speak to you like he spoke to them. To your circle of influence. Until you can win souls, man. From off that road that's wide and lead to destruction, that you can win them souls onto that road that's narrow that lead to everlasting life. What road is that, Arthur? Come join my church, my organization, my denomination, my religion? No. Come sit at the feet of Jesus, man, and hear what he said and get into the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven and start charting your course toward that destination. What destination is that, Arthur, boy? All of the kingdom of heaven, the governing system of it, how it operates, Jesus Christ come to bring that man to you. He didn't come to bring a religion. He come to bring a government, a governing system. And the governing system that he came to bring is the governing system of heaven, how heaven is governed, heavenly protocol. How to live, the protocol, how to live in the kingdom of heaven. That protocol, the functioning principles of that, the laws that govern that, the law God gave Moses, the law that God gave Moses to the children of Israel who were separated from him, born in sin and shaped in iniquity and wandering around in the wilderness and living, man, like they were still in Egypt. And all the time they were free. But they still had Egypt mentality. Why? Because they didn't know nothing, man, about the original law. They didn't know nothing about, boy, this law of life. They got so far away from what God said, man, to where God spoke to mankind. It was so watered down to man, all they knew was what mankind would say to them. So their faith was in the wisdom of man. But they didn't know nothing about the just living by faith. That's a law in the kingdom. What's a law in the kingdom? The law of life. Listen, that law right there, the law of life, the law of what Jesus Christ, the law of the word of God, or what God said. I'm talking about what God said from not in the beginning, but from the beginning. What God said, let's make them in our image and our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle, everything that creepeth upon the earth, over all the earth. Just let them have the dominion. Let them have the dominion. So God blessed them and told them to be fruitful and multiply and make the whole earth, boy, just like that little garden of Eden that he planted and put them in. And set them on course toward their destination. To what order? So that the whole earth could be filled with the presence of the Lord. So that the whole earth could become, boy, just like the garden of Eden. How you gonna get that done, Arthur? By faith. Faith in what, Arthur? Faith, man, in the law of life. What's the law of life? The word of God. In the beginning, the Bible says in John chapter 1 was the word. The word was with God, and the word was God. The word is God. And in him, who? The word was life, glory to God. And the life that's in the word was the light of men. It began to shine in the darkness. Darkness is ignorance. Not knowing, man, this light. not knowing about this light. Knowing about some other light, but not knowing about this light. The Word of God. Through yourself. So most people, they just like today, man, they put their faith in the wisdom of the man, the preacher. And boy, the preacher can articulate the message in such a way that way he can stir up your emotions and make you feel something and everything else. And all that's a good thing. No misunderstanding everything, yeah, boy. But let me tell you something, boy, as long as you don't know the Word for yourself. As long as you don't know the Word. You don't mind you hearing what I'm saying and everything else. As long as you don't search the Scriptures, man, to see whether what I'm saying is what God said or not. Yeah, put your faith in the wisdom of the preacher. And then when you do that, man, you have misconcepts. You have a group of ideas that you have come together from what you've heard and everything else, and it's your ideology, it's your theology, it's the way you see things, and as a result of how your life is. Why? Because your concepts, man, are wrong. Why are the concepts wrong, boy? David said in Psalm 104, he said, Lord, your righteousness is established through your precepts. Let me say it plain and simple. Lord, thank you for what you're doing through Moses and Jeremiah and everything else. But Lord, what's your original intent? What's your original idea? What's your original plan and purpose and destiny and will for our lives here on earth? See, we're not careful. We've been preoccupied, man, with men knowing, man, what something is at the expense of forfeiting men coming to the understanding of why it is. The purpose for a thing. The purpose for your salvation. The purpose for God, man, healing you. The purpose for God delivering you. The purpose for God providing for you. The purpose for why God saved you. The purpose, the reason. What purpose is the original intent for the creation or the existence of a thing? The original intent. That's why David said, Lord, show me your precepts. God said about him, that's a man after my own heart. In other words, he don't just want to see no miracles in my hands and my hand working. He don't want to see me, man, you know, working no miracles and doing mighty things. He want to know, man, me. He want to know my heart. He want to know, man, my character and my nature. He want to know, boy, what's on the inside of me. He want to know me. He don't just want to know of me and about me. Boy, he want to know me. He said, that's a man after my own heart. Why? Because David, man, wasn't satisfied with the concepts. What's the concept, boy? That's the ideas and the theology and the philosophy that he got, man, from his five-sense reasoning, man, of what he heard through his life. Say, Lord, I didn't hear many things. Nevertheless, Father, what you say? I have heard it has been said, man, this and that. I heard Jeremiah say this, and I heard Isaiah say this, and I heard the preacher say this, and I heard the pastor say this, and I heard the bishop say this, and I heard the pope say this, and I heard the politicians say this, Lord, and I heard, man, different people with influence say that, and I heard what the basketball star said, man, in the sports world and to influence all the athletes in the world. I heard all that, man, what the rich people say and giving their philosophies on different ideas on this. I heard what the doctor said, man, about me and my condition that's in my body. I heard all that, Lord. But David said, Lord, I want to hear what you say about all that. What they say. What's your original intent? What's your original reason for the creation of the earth and the creation of a royal family that comes from heaven, that you brought from heaven down to the earth and prepared a body for them to live in? What's your reason why you did that, Lord? Not what you did, but why? Why you did that, Lord? So that I can live this. I want to hear what you say about it. Why? So that I can lean not on my own understanding, but as I acknowledge you in all my ways, then you can direct my path. Instead of my pastor, or instead of my denomination, or instead of my religious beliefs, or instead of leaning on my own understanding, or my own self. You know, many are the plans David had in my heart, But Lord, it's your purpose that will prevail. That's what I want to prevail. I got a lot of plans and I got a lot of ideas and everything else. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Not my kingdom, Lord, but thy kingdom come. Now give me every day what I need, Lord, to accomplish that. Listen, not for me, but to help you, Lord, accomplish what you're doing, Lord. Listen, when David went to God and prayer, man, David didn't go to prayer and say, Lord, I need a job, and Lord, I need you to help me pay these bills, and Lord, I need finance. They didn't pray like that. He said, Lord, man, give me everything that I need to help you accomplish what you're doing. First thing he went to do is say, Lord, what you doing? And then after you find out what he's doing, then you say, now give me this day my daily bread. Give me everything that I need to help you accomplish what you're doing. Because what you're doing, you can't do it. I found out that what you're doing, you can't do it unless you do it through me. You got to have a body. Spirits operating in the earth without a body is illegal. So, Lord, you have to have a body. That's why, boy, we call the body of Christ. So that the Lord, what he's doing, that we the people that he's doing, in and through who? His called out ones, his offsprings. So like I said, man, you know, thank God for the good news about Jesus Christ and everything else. He got us prepared for something. What was that again? To come on back into the kingdom and learn the protocol of the kingdom, learn how to live, learn about the law of life. See, that law of life, you might not notice here, but the law of life sets you free from the law of sin and death. What's the law of sin and death? Let me tell you something, boy. God told Adam, man, you can eat off all the trees that you want to. Right there's the perfect law of liberty. That's freedom. That's complete freedom. He didn't tell a man, listen here, don't eat off that tree. He said, you can eat off any tree in the garden you want to. He told him about the tree. He said, one of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's a law. If you eat off that tree, you're going to die. That's a law of sin and death. He told him about all of that. And he told him that's the law of liberty, the perfect law of liberty. He said, you can eat off any fruit you want to, any tree you want to. And he even told him the consequences. But if you eat off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, what's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? What are we eating off here today? What's that? What somebody else say, in spite of what God says? Are we changing laws and making laws, even to govern our country, man? Not according to man, what God said, but according to what we say. He made our own laws. Boy, Adam declared independence from God, man. And he had to make his own laws and live, man, by the sweat of his brow, like the prophet say. He was on his own knee. And instead of it being on earth like it is in heaven, it's on earth like it is here now. With the division and separation and everything. Why? Because God, mankind got away from the original laws of God. Listen, there's another law in the kingdom, man, called just the royal law here, the law of love. You know why that love, you know why so much racism and killing, and I'm talking about you, not just black against white or white against black, man. I'm talking about mankind. You're talking about black lives matter. Yes, black lives matter. White lives matter. Oriental lives matter. All lives matter. But we killing one another. What you mean we killing one another? I'm not talking about just blacks killing blacks. I'm talking about people killing people, man. People killing people. It's not just black killing black, man. Yes, blacks are killing blacks. And boy, I'm talking about that's so hard on us, man. But it's much, much more than that. I'm talking about people killing people, man. Because that's the first thing that happened when Adam and Eve got put out the Garden of Eden and start to have children, man. Next thing you read about, man, is how Cain killed Abel. And ever since then, man, you know, mankind been killing one another. Why? Because, boy, I'm talking about a law in the kingdom called the law of sin and death. You eat off that tree, you're going to die. And he died, man, you know. And then all the children died. And the first act is, like I say, these two sons, one killed the other. But that's nothing. Why? Because, boy, I'm talking about they got away from the law of love. He said, listen, man, you know, you love your brother, you're not going to kill him. If you really love your neighbor yourself, you're not going to slander him and backbite him. If you really know how to operate in the love of God, I ain't talking about just loving people like natural love or human love or physical love. Or none of that. I'm talking about, boy, love to people like God loved us, like God loved you. You know, I go, I love you. He looked past all our faults and mistakes, and he saw our need. What was our need? We needed a kinsman redeemer. We needed somebody, man, to redeem our life, to out from that destruction. What destruction, boy? The law of sin and death. Yeah, you know the story. Adam and Eve, them man, ate out the tree, man. God forbid them not to eat out or told them what the consequences was if they ate out that tree. He gave them liberty to eat off of them. He said, I give you dominion in the earth. This is your territory. And this is your assignment. This is your mandate. Make it in your territory just like it is, man, in heaven. Make the whole earth be fruitful and multiply and replenish. Make the whole earth just like this little garden of Eden. I give you everything that you have need of. You can eat off all the trees in the garden. And boy, you eat off the tree of peace. You can eat off the tree of joy. You can eat off the tree of life. You can eat off the tree of health. You can eat off the tree of wealth. You can eat off the tree of joy unspeakable. You can eat off the tree of power and authority and anointing. You can eat off the tree of wisdom, man. All these trees here, boy, you can eat off all the trees, man, that represent the attributes and the character and nature of God. And you know, boy, you are what you eat. Boy, if you eat off all them trees, boy, you had a joy of the Lord. If you eat out the tree of peace, boy, you had a peace of God. That is all understanding. If you eat out the tree of joy, man, you had a joy unspeakable and full of glory. If you eat out the tree, man, of healing, man, I'm talking about, boy, you can walk not only get healed, but we can walk in divine health. We can destroy all the works of the enemy. We can, man, cast out devils, man, you know. We can exercise our authority and power that God gave us over this earth, man. We can once again begin to exercise that authority and power, man, in our circle of influence. And instead of dying like mere men and mere women, we can begin to live again, man. I heard one song say, boy, live on top of the world. How? Let's get back to Eden and live on top of the world, boy. That's what God wants, boy, for us to get back to Eden and live on top of the world. And so what you saying, Arthur? I'm saying, boy, let me tell you something. All those are good things and everything else, but all that's a means to one end. What's that one end? You know what this thing going to end up in? You know where the Bible ends at? Like I was saying earlier, most believers, man, their concept is, man, we're going to live the best we can, man, do our best to live and obey the laws of Moses and everything else and live upright before God and help people and don't do evil and don't do this and don't do that and quit doing this and quit doing that and live, man, holy and everything else, man, and, man, you know, so that we can make it to heaven. And, boy, when we get to heaven, boy, it's already everything going to be all right. Religion has prepared us, man, to go to heaven. But God's will, man, is for heaven to come to earth. Let me say something while I'm right here, boy. It's not in our best interest to live in heaven with God forever. If you live in heaven for God forever, man, you're going to only be a prince or a princess when God creates you to be a king. So if you're going to live forever in heaven, man, then he will reduce you from what he creates you to be, what a ruler. He gave you dominion over the earth. He gave you kingship over the earth. That's what the word, man, dominion means, kingdom, a king's domain. He gave you dominion, man, over territory. And in your territory, you the king. That's why he called the king of kings. That's why Jesus called the king of kings. Because in this, on the earth, you the king. In heaven, you just a prince or a princess. Which one has more authority? The king or the prince or the princess? The king has more authority. So God wants you just like him in his image and his life. He ruled the unseen, the heavens is the Lord. He created it for a seen realm for you and I, called the earth, and brought you and I down from this earth. Down, let me correct that. Brought you and I down from heaven. Who is you and I? Little offsprings of God, the royal family of God, sons and daughters of the Most High God, little kings and little queens of the Most High God, created in his image and his likeness, just like him, with his character, his nature, and the ability to function, walk, talk, live, act, be, just like y'all Father in heaven. So he created more seeing realm for us. And then he came down to the seeing realm and brought you and I from heaven. From heaven. He brought you and I from heaven. Because in heaven we just prince and princess. But he wanted us to be kings. He wants kings. He wanted his boy and family to be kings like him. So he brought us down from heaven. And formed a body for you and I to live in. And then he breathed into that body from the earth ground, the breath of life, and man, who is man? A spirit being, just like God, creating his image and his likeness, living in a physical body. That's a spirit being living in a physical body. What do you call that? Human or humus. Humus is earthy, dirt. Man is spirit. So what is a human? A human is a spirit that comes from heaven that's created in the image and likeness of God that lives in a physical body. What's a human again? That's a spirit being, man, that lives in a physical body. What's a human again, Arthur? That's a spirit being created in the image and likeness of the Most High God. That's God's little child. That's God's royal family. That's God's offspring. The same character in nature as Almighty God that's living in a physical body that God formed from the earth and breathed into that body the breath of life, and man became a living soul, a free will. The Spirit of the Lord on the inside, the Spirit that created in the image and likeness of the Most High God. You got your own will, your own personality, your own self, your own ability, your own decision and features, your own emotions, your own attitudes, your own personality. But self, I, me, soul, will, mind, emotion, attitude. And a physical body that comes from the earth. What's that? A humorous man. A spirit being just like God. To have a soul. That's a mind. A will. Emotions. Attitudes. Feelings. That's your soul. Your personality. The person. Yourself. And living in a physical body. Where? On the earth. Why? So that you could dominate this earth, so that you could have dominion over this earth, so that you could have kingship, rulership, authority, power, control, and influence over what? People? No, over territory. What territory is there? The earth. For what purpose, Arthur? So that you could make earth, what God is intending to do through his royal family, is make earth a colony of heaven. For what purpose, Arthur? So that it might be in our lives here on earth, just like it is in heaven. So that God could rule the seen realm, that's the earth. From the unseen realm, that's heaven. Through the unseen being, that's our spirit man. That live in the seen, that's our physical body. On the seen, that's this physical earth. For what purpose, Arthur? So that we could dominate this earth. So that, boy, we could establish the governing system, the governing rule, the governing authority, the governing will, influence, culture of heaven on our territory that he gave us called the earth. And, boy, God set that up in your Bible in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. That's what the Genesis chapter 1 is all about. And God set that up and gave you and I dominion over all the earth. Listen, when God was talking to Adam, remember that body I told you that he formed from the dust of the ground? He formed one body, and he never went back to the ground again. And everybody that came after that one body that he formed came from that one body that he formed from the earth. He just formed one body. He didn't make a whole bunch of bodies. He formed one. And from that one body came everybody. Everybody that ever lived, man, come from that one body. God made one body from the earth. He called Adam. That's not the name of a man. That's the name of a species. A damn, what is that? Mankind. And he formed that body from the dust of the ground and breathed into that body. And from that body, man, he made another body. You know the story, boy. He went and took a man, a part of Adam, in his body, and made another body, a female body. And then, boy, brought the female body to God. Now we got male man and female man. Spirit beings. One live in a physical, a male body. One live in a female body. One point was already for procreation, for making other bodies. So from that one body, he created and helped me for Adam, another body. We know it as Eve. And from them two bodies, man, came Cain and Abel. And you know the story I told you about Cain killed Abel, but that didn't stop the progress. And from that body came everybody. From that one body came Eve, two bodies. From them two bodies came everybody. So everybody came from that one body. So when God was talking to that one body in the Garden of Eden, he was talking to everybody. Even the ones who ain't been manifested yet, even the ones who ain't been born yet, even all those who ain't been born yet, he's talking to everybody when he was talking to Adam. All creation, mankind. Told them, man, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth, have dominion, authority, power, control, make earth a colony of him. And I told you he set that up on the earth. And when he set that up on the earth, boy, I'm talking about there, he set up a spot on the earth. For the moment. That's a delightful place. With an open door into the literal presence of the Lord. Heaven on earth. The Garden of Eden is not a geographical location for Decker. It's an atmosphere and an environment, a spot on the earth for the moment, with an open door into a delightful place, the presence of the Lord. Well, in his presence, boy, is fullness of joy. In his presence, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And from that place, he told a man to be fruitful and multiply and make the whole earth just like heaven. But you know the story. That's Genesis chapter 1 and 2. So God set up the kingdom of heaven on the earth and walked and talked with man in the cool of the day, every day. Unbroken fellowship. He wasn't using no apostles and prophets and pastors and bishops and popes and everything else to minister to his people. He was walking and talking with them in the cool of the day, every day. Unbroken fellowship. Heaven on earth. Then something happened in Genesis chapter 3, boy. They committed high treason. They declared independent. They want to be on their own. They want to be their own God. And they were influenced and motivated and tricked and deceived into having that attitude, that mindset, because of a wicked angel that went bad, you know, Lucifer. You know the story, how he came in the tree, man, and goddamn it, listen, you can be God yourself. God knows that you can be God yourself. You can be a God yourself. You can declare independence from God. And man, you can be man of God. You can be your own God. You be just like God. You're no good and evil, man. You know, you'll be just like God. In other words, he was saying, you'll be a God yourself. And boy, he knows willfully. I'm talking about knowing. God already told him, man, about the tree of sin and death, the law of sin and death. If you eat out that tree, man, you're going to separate yourself from me. In other words, God said, hey, listen, that tree right there don't have no authority, no power over your life. Die don't have no power over your life. The death don't have no power over your life. It's like a beautiful bumblebee that's flying around in the garden that don't have no sting in it. But it don't have no authority, no power over your life. But if you yield to it and eat off of it, then you're going to give that death, you're going to give it power to you. You're going to bring death to life, and death's going to sting you. And death's going to cause you to be separated from me. And when you're separated from me, then you're going to have to get you put out of this garden, this atmosphere, this delightful place, out of the presence of the Lord, over into the wilderness. And just like the children of Israel were in the wilderness, under the control of a wicked angel, that under the control of Pharaoh's. In Pharaoh's kingdom that he set up on earth, just like you and I, man, when God put Adam and Eve out of the garden, we found ourselves in the wilderness. Living man separated from God. And just like Moses, man, the type and shadow of all the Old Testament stuff and all the Old Testament characters and stories, the type and shadow, man, of what God was really doing, or what God set up in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, that boy, in the fullness of time, he sent his son, his only begotten son, to reestablish more debt back up on the earth. It reestablished what, Arthur? Church in the earth and having good church in the earth? And, no. To establish what God originally intended and purposed and idea and desire and plan for our life. What was the reason? That he would live in us. How, boy? By his Holy Spirit. But not just be among us like he'd been through that, but be in us. Live in us. So there would be no unbroken fellowship. So that, boy, we could hear what the Most High God is saying. Not man through mankind, man, but what the Spirit is saying about, like I told you earlier, about what I say. And boy, when you start hearing what the Spirit say about what I say, then you're hearing from God then. Otherwise, you're just hearing from man. But the good news, man, that Jesus Christ come and told the people that everything that was going on in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, that God originally set up, his original intent, his original plan, his original purpose, and desire for our life that he set up in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, that got disrupted in chapter 3, and you found yourself in the wilderness just like going around and around and around in circles. But I come, boy, to deliver you from that destruction. God said, I come to deliver you from that destruction and restore back to you for what you had going on in Adam in Genesis chapter 1 and 2 before they ate off that tree of the knowledge of good and evil and place on the inside of you all the potential that you need, boy, to fulfill that God-given purpose and destiny. I'm going to give you all the anointing that you need, all the power that you need, all the ability that you need. Over what, man? Over people know over all the works of the devil, over all the works of the enemy, over the thieves that come to steal, kill, and destroy. I'm going to give you power over all of that. Hallelujah. So that you can begin once again, instead of circumstance, situation, and symptom dictating to you, you can begin to dictate to the circumstances, situations, and symptoms. Hey, you can come back, boy, to the top. I'm going to put your crown back on your head. I'm going to put you. So what he would preach you, Arthur, what he was saying, and what you're saying, Arthur, I'm saying all the good things about Jesus, man, that's a good thing. But, boy, what he was preaching, what he was saying was this: as I am, so are you. So what should I do, so can you. As the Father sent me, so send I you. You can cast out devils. You see how I live? So can you. You see the authority and power that I'm operating in, the things that I'm doing, so can you. And greater things can you do. You just see any few little things that I'm doing, but you can do far greater things than me. You see me unstopping deaf ears and opening blind eyes and causing the lame to walk and a few things that I did right here physically. You see in that, but you can do greater works. What? You can open spiritual blind eyes. You can unstop spiritual deaf ears and cause them to really hear, man, what God is saying. You can cause the lane to walk instead of us walking, man, religiously and walking after, man. We can begin to walk on this straight and narrow road, man, that leads to everlasting life and peace and joy and dominion and authority and power and control and influence over our lives here on the earth. He kind of tell us, man, listen, yeah, you worship me, and that's good and everything else, but what would be a purpose for worshiping me? Why? Because I come to show you. You know what the Bible say? The Bible say, I give you apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. They didn't have that in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. That's a product of the fall. And one of these days, there ain't going to be no more apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. But Jesus said, because you didn't fail now, you can't come back into the presence of the Lord. I'm going to give you some apostles and prophets and evangelists and teachers and everything at work. For the perfecting of you, perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, until, watch this year, until we all come to the unity of the faith, unto a stature of Christ. What's a stature? A stature is a fixed, predictable image of something. Until we what, boy? Look just like Christ. Be just like Christ. Talk just like Christ. Walk just like Christ. Live just like Christ. Think just like Christ. I show you a mystery, the Bible says in Colossians chapter 1, man, verse 23, that been hidden from ages and ages, but now being manifested, born in the earth today. How are the, by the Holy Spirit. What's the mystery, Arthur? Christ in you. What? Christ in you. What, Arthur? Christ in you. And boy, that's the hope of glory. That's the fullness of the manifestation until we all come to the fullness of a stature of Christ. What you mean, Arthur? Until we become a fixed, predictable image of Christ. Until we look just like Christ, talk just like Christ, think just like Christ, man, be just like Christ, live just like Christ, man. Why, who's the image of the Most High God, baby, just like him, created in the image and the likeness of the Most High God with all power and authority and dominion, man. And that we begin to rise up, boy, and live that way. Instead of, man, living like Christian and doing the best, man, we can to make it in, man, begin, boy, to know that the way has already been made, boy, that he's already, man, saved us. He's already delivered us. He's already provided for us everything that we have need of to fulfill our God-given purpose and destiny. What's our God-given purpose and destiny? What's the original intent and plan and purpose for God for our life? That, boy, it would be in our life here in our territory called earth, just like it is in heaven. Say that again, Arthur. What God will is, he's not trying to get us to come live with him. He's trying to come live with us. He's not trying to get us to come to heaven. He's trying to get us to the knowledge and the understanding, boy, that heaven then came, man, watch, not just to you, heaven then came back to you. And that, boy, that Garden of Eden, that Adam and Eve was originally in, and that place that they were assigned to do their work from, that place, boy, is available again. No more angels with flaming swords there to protect the way of the tree of life. They gone, boy. And instead of angels with flaming swords keeping people out of the presence of the Lord, instead of middle wall of petition keeping people out of the holies of holies, out of the presence of the Lord, instead of, boy, mankind, man, wandering around in the wilderness, man, day after day, week after week, man, year after year, man, that they could, that promised land that was available to them, boy, that they can come on in. The middle wall of petition has been torn in two. The Jordan River, man, has been split, man, in dry land just like the Red Sea was. The Garden of Eden, that man, Adam and Eve, that God planted on the earth and put mankind in, that Garden of Eden, man, has been reestablished, man, back on the earth. What's the Garden of Eden, Arthur? A delightful place with an open door to it and to the literal presence of the Lord. Back into, boy, the literal presence of the Lord. What's the presence of the Lord, boy? Our mystery. Not just God among us, but Christ in us. How is all that getting done, Arthur, boy? Not by power, nor by might, but by my spirit, said the Lord. What would Jesus preach, man, that life that Adam and Eve were living in the Garden of Eden, man, before they ate off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, I couldn't bring that life back to you. I couldn't bring that relationship that they had with God in the cool of the day, walking and talking with the cool of the day, I couldn't bring that back to you. What about my sins and false mistakes? I got that covered, boy. In fact, your father had that covered even before he created you, boy. I was slain before the foundation of the world, Jesus said, boy. It's not just when you sin. In fact, let me say it plain and simple. You ought to pay the penalty for your sins even before you sin. I'm the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundation of the world. I come to redeem your life from the destruction. All those things that I did is a means to an end. What's the end, Arthur? To get you back into the presence of the Lord. Get you back into the promised land. Get your kingship back. Get your crown back. What you lost? Your dominion, your authority, your power, your control, your influence, man, over a territory called earth. And what